Now we read together in Revelation chapter 1. Let's go back there and want to home in on some words at the end of verse 5. Just read a little bit around that first. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to think about these words in verse 5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. So now the second bit tells us we're speaking about Jesus. And it's Jesus who loves us. Have you ever been loved? Who do you think of if I ask that question? Who has loved you? Just looking at expressions in people's faces, they are ranging from almost ecstasy sometimes other kinds of feelings too, because the people who have loved us are not always still with us, probably not for almost all of us now in a way. But here's a passage that tells you that you are loved. You are loved by Jesus. He loves us. And just looking quickly at this verse, at these words, he loves us in two very different and extraordinary ways. He loves us by freeing us from our sins in his blood. Sorry, just while I stop, is everyone too warm? Can someone pop the arrest the heater on? Thank you, Heather. So he loves us by freeing us from our sins by his blood. So we're speaking about the past there. We're speaking about Jesus dying on the cross there. So he has loved us there as a man dying for our sins on the cross. But now it says to him who loves us, and at this point, as John writes, Jesus is, as we see in the vision later, he's on the throne in glory, and he is loving us as God the Son. So we're going to think about that. Today we're going to think about his love to us as Jesus the man. Next week as God the Son. And then the following week we'll bring some things together from that. But we have been loved with the love of the man, Christ Jesus. And we are loved with the love of God the Son. And that's what we're going to think about. This is a personal love. Because his love, says John, has freed us from our sins by his blood. Now, freed is a wonderful word. It literally means loosed. And you imagine yourself with a burden. The burden is your sin. And what it's saying is that by the blood of the cross, Jesus has cut that burden off us. He's loosed it from us, and we don't carry it anymore at all. We're free of it. It's like the picture in Pilgrim's Progress, where a Christian comes to the cross with a burden, and the burden rolls off him and is never seen again. The burden of our sins is a burden that Jesus looses his people from. We are completely set free from it. Like, again, Charles Wesley's hymn, "My chains fell off, my heart was free." It's that sense of complete deliverance from sins that John is speaking about here. Now, this is not a transaction. It says he's freed us from our sins by his blood. It's not a transaction in the sense that sin is a debt and the debt has to be paid, and you go to the bank and the teller of the bank says, yeah, you're in debt with all your sins, but I'll tell you what, I'll transfer them over to Jesus' account and we'll put them in his account instead and you won't be in debt anymore. And the teller sort of presses a few buttons and the money's, the debt's gone over to Jesus. It's not that kind of thing. Because the teller doesn't need to care where the money is. You know, a bank teller doesn't care whether you're in debt or whether you're flush. You know, he doesn't care about that, or she doesn't care about that, because it's not their money. But it's Jesus that is receiving the debt because of Jesus' love. This is God's business. Your sin is God's business in this verse here. Sin is not a debt to God simply, it's an offence. Sin is, it's an ugliness, it's an injustice, it's a disobedience, it's a blight on the beautiful creation that he has given us to live in. And it's got to be taken away for the creation to be restored and renewed. Sin has got to be taken out. And this is a personal thing for God, because things are not as God made them or wants them to be for you or for me. We're not in a world that is the way God wants it to be. We're not to think, oh, well, God's made a mistake. No, God hasn't made a mistake. We've made the mistakes. Mistakes, actually, not the word. Sin is the word. It's an offense to God. It's very personal to him. And he loves us, and he wants to do something about it. And so it's going to cost him dearly, personally, to do that. And what it costs him is the blood. The Father sends his Son. And he has to see his Son suffering 30 years under the temptations and the opposition that he receives. And the Son himself comes and does that suffering and gives his life on the cross. It's very, very personal. Jesus himself is without debt, and he abhors debt. But the Father takes our debt and places it upon him. And there must be that sense, and you can see it at the cross where he cries out, why have you forsaken me? That sense of, what is this? I've never known anything like this. This debt, this burden. And it's personal to God, it's personal to Jesus. The love of God is not a cold, calculating thing. The love of God is personal. Is personally involved with you and with me. Now, let's think a bit more about it. It's personal, it's also the pinnacle of love, the love of God. Whenever you go into the Gospels and see Jesus, he's always loving. Sometimes it's spelled out, like the rich young man, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. When Lazarus dies, it says Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. It's spelled out very clearly, and even the Jews say, see how he loved him. It's plain. And John, this disciple I mentioned in prayer, is the disciple Jesus loved. But while these are all true, and the love of Jesus for these people, and for the people, the children, and so on, is very real, the pinnacle of Jesus' love is seen at the cross. It's seen in the blood that he's pouring out to free us, loose us from our sins. So Paul, for example, writes about it in this way, Galatians 2:20. You can almost see him with his pen, or maybe he's actually dictating it to someone who's writing it down. Stop a minute. Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. And you can imagine Paul and the tears coming down his face. If I've ever been loved, it was then. He loved me and gave himself for me. Speaks about it more generally in Ephesians 5. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And again, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, why is this the pinnacle of love? Why is this the highest love? Well, because it says he freed us from our sins by something. What did he free us from our sins by? Was it his teaching? Some people think you can be freed from sin by teaching. Many religions go down that road, but it wasn't. Was it his example? And some people think you just need to follow an example and that will put you right. It's not what Jesus did. He gave us a teaching, he gave us an example. Was it his touch? We thought about the touch of Jesus last Sunday night. Was it the touch of Jesus that freed us? No, it wasn't. It was his blood. It's the only thing that could free us. That's why all other religions fail. They fail. Because to be right with God, we need to take our sin, our unlove, seriously. And God does. And in order to fix us and free us from our sins, the only way is for him to give his son to die on the cross for us. And he's prepared to do that, and Jesus is prepared to do that for us. There's nothing else like it. And you are privileged this morning, as I am, to be thinking about this, because there's many people in this world that are gathering in places to worship, whatever they're worshipping, and they're never going to hear about the love of God in Christ. So long as they go to the wrong place, the wrong religion, or wherever else they go on a Sunday, the golf course, the cinema. What a privilege it is for us to read this verse and to hear about the love of God in Christ and to know that this is what it takes and God was willing to do it for us. There is nothing like it. It's the pinnacle of love that we're speaking about here. Jesus, without us, we didn't do anything to make it happen. We didn't add anything. He, by his blood, looses us and sets us free. It's also a thoroughly human love. This is the love of a man that we're speaking about here, who has freed us from our sins by his blood. The love of a man. It was a man who was born. It was a man who grew up and who lived and suffered and was opposed and was tempted and was ultimately condemned and flogged and crucified. It was a man, Christ Jesus. Human love, the love of a man. Let me address the men here this morning. How's your love today? What loving things are you doing today? What loving things have you done in the past few days? How have you showed your love to the people around you? They matter to you. How have you showed your love? Because love here, the love of Jesus, it's not just taking some money out of your pocket to buy something. It's not even words of love and affirmation. This love is self-giving. It's you not getting to do what you choose to do. Jesus did not choose to go to the cross. In Gethsemane, he said, I don't want this. I really don't want to do this. But if you want me to for my people, I'll do it. And he does do it. That's love. It's sacrifice. Self-giving. Men, where's that kind of love in your life? And women too. The love of Christ is human love. Let me say something else about it too. It's the fullness of human love. It's the fullness of human love. It's the fullest human love possible. Now, how is it the fullest of human love possible? Well, you'll say, well, of course, because Jesus is God. And because he's God, no, that's not right. He is God. But it's not because he is God that is the fullest of human love. Jesus is not like God coming in a man and kind of dragging a man through 33 years of pretty difficult experience to the cross. It's not that. This is a man himself doing it willingly, obediently, lovingly. Jesus, it's human love, it's his human love that takes him on every step that he follows, every place he goes to, every word he speaks, every touch, every action, every sacrifice he makes. It's human love. It's love that is coming out from within him. Now, how is that? And this is where we need to... Theology is vital. We need to understand our theology. We need to understand clearly what was happening in the person of Jesus when he came into the world. And not be vague, because if we're vague, we won't understand the greatness of the reality of what I'm about to speak about. Jesus comes into this world, and we're told by Paul, this is the Son emptying himself. Emptying himself. So, as a human, he's not coming just with all the thunder and lightning and action of God. He doesn't say, oh, I've got a problem here, I'll just zap it. You know, I'm thirsty, I'll just get some water out of thin air. He doesn't do that. He never does that. Never, ever. Satan wants him to do it. Turn these stones into bread. You're hungry. He never, ever does that. Why? Because as a man, he's taken a different position to the position of being all-powerful as God, so he can just zap anything he wants and make life easy for himself. He's taken a position of dependence as a man to become like us. He also has put his trust in the Father. And he depends on the Father for any power that he has. He depends on the Father to supply him with the power he needs to live and serve. That power comes to him by the Holy Spirit. And that coming is symbolized in the baptism of Jesus, when the Spirit comes as a dove. Of course, Jesus is full of the Spirit right from the very beginning of his life, because he has to be in order to stay away from sin. But John, writing in his Gospel, chapter 3, 34, the one whom God has sent, Jesus, speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Jesus is filled with the Spirit without limit. And read carefully through, and you'll see this all the time. Isaiah tells us he's coming, he's going to be sent with the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, Isaiah 48. He's baptized by the Spirit when he's baptized by water in the Jordan. He's led then by the Spirit into the desert. He returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, not his own divine power as Son of God, because he's dependent on what the Father supplies, and the Father keeps supplying the Spirit to him. He drives out demons by the Spirit. These are all things you can read about. And Hebrews 9 speaks about the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. So what we have here is something that we should be looking for ourselves, really. And that is to be so full of the Holy Spirit that our humanity, with all its weakness and frailty and need, is lifted up to the highest pitch of love and service to God that it can possibly be. That's what happens in Jesus Christ. The cross is the ultimate expression of that, of the fullness of Jesus. So John again, writing John 13, having loved his own who were in the world, he now shows them the full extent of his love. And this takes us into the passage after that, where Jesus does his final teaching, washes their feet, is arrested, and dies on a cross ultimately. The full extent of his love. And that is possible because Jesus, the man, has emptied himself of, you know, the kind of power that can serve himself, make life easy for himself, and he has instead depended on the Father for the Spirit to lead him to serve us, ultimately by dying on the cross. And what we see then in Jesus is human love being taken to its furthest extreme of possibility. Human love. The kind of love that we can show if we are filled by the Holy Spirit. But finally, this love is limited. You say, what? The love of Jesus is limited? Well, in human terms, it is. Of course it is. I mean, it's limited by his body, by his brain, by his intelligence, by his being in one place and only one place at a time. It's limited by things like the need for sleep, the need for food. And so the cross and the blood of the cross is the act of a limited man. Because it's a man. It's a real man. It's a man who is subject to exactly the same kind of limitations that you and I are subject to. It's not God doing a miracle to take away our sins, because the man can't do it. The man can do it, but he can only do it when he is filled to the top, filled to the absolute fullness by the Spirit of God. And so you might look at Jesus and just see another man. You say, well, the body's unpromising, the mind's unpromising, he's very limited, he's tired, he's weak, he's hungry. And you see all of that in the Gospels. But the Holy Spirit enters and fills that man, and he receives the Spirit willingly, and he is led by the Spirit willingly to take all the weakness and all the frailty of his human body so that it fulfills its highest possible potential. And then it runs out, because it's just a body. The mind runs out at the cross, and for the first time we hear Jesus asking, bewildered, why have you forsaken me? The mind runs out. It's only a human mind cannot conceive of the vastness of the purposes of God. And the body runs out. He breathed his last. The body is limited. The mind is limited. But the Holy Spirit has taken that body and mind and raised it to its highest possible action and potential. The most possible love that can be wrung from the human frame has been wrung from the human frame of Jesus. He is taken to the limit by the Holy Spirit. Now we look at that, and this is beyond us, because we're not filled to the limit by the Holy Spirit. Hopefully we are filled with the Spirit, but we're not filled to that. We should seek to be, and I will say more about this in a couple of weeks, we should be looking for our own bodies to be filled so full of the Holy Spirit that the weakness of our human frame is taken to extraordinary lengths and heights in the service of our loving Father. And that's what happens with Jesus. He's taken to such a height, and even in the weakness of his body, that he's able to pay for our sins by his blood, human blood, on a cross. And this should engage us all, shouldn't it? If you're bored at this moment, then you need to repent deeply, deeply, deeply before God. You need to, because this is the most important kind of information that you can receive. That he loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Jesus dies at the highest point of mankind's expression of love, because only this man is perfectly and completely filled by the Holy Spirit without limit. And he's taken up to that point for carrying the burden of the sins of his people throughout all the ages. He can't take it any further. His body just can't do any more, and his mind can't do any more, and he dies. But it's enough. It's just enough. It's only just enough. Only just enough. Why do I say that? Because the Father loves Jesus. Father isn't going to take Jesus through any more suffering than he needs to. Only just enough suffering to pay for our sins. And once that's done, that's enough. He's released from the burden. And he begins his exaltation and his glory. Astonishing love. Glorious, glorious love. Now, if you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself that you don't need Jesus, well, this should teach us that you do. Because you cannot do what Jesus did on the cross, but that is what needs to happen for your sins. Well, you can't do that. You just can't do it. You've already blown it because you've already sinned long, long, long ago. And all your sins are heaped up in a huge, massive pile. And they're either still sitting on you, waiting for Jesus to loose them from you and set you free from them by his blood, or they're on Jesus because he's already done that for you. But they're somewhere, because God sees it all and he has to deal with it. The judgment will fall on you, or it's already fallen on Jesus Christ in that act of extraordinary love. So this morning, as we just bring that to a close, we worship Jesus. Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, who is without sin, raised to the highest pitch of human love for yours and my sin. He sheds his blood. He dies. It's extraordinary and it's wonderful. My friends, this morning, you have been loved. You have been loved because God saw your emergency and he came to your rescue. Not with blue lights, but with the blood of his son in love. Extraordinary. Wonderful. Give your own response to this. But let's sing now. Let's worship. Let's worship God.